The book of the prophet Isaiah is sometimes called the fifth gospel because his message points so much to Christ. And today, he gives us a command. Seek the Lord. I remember as a little boy, sitting up in bed before falling asleep at night and praying so fervently, I just want to see your face. Just show me your face. I remember studying theology in Rome, where I often wondered what I was doing an ocean away from home, and going to the Trevi Fountain, such a beautiful sight, with large crowds of people milling about, and walking among them, and saying over and over in my head, where is God? Where is God? And as a priest, how many times over the years have people asked me that very question? Father, where is God in this mess of my life? Where is God? Isaiah says that God absolutely may be found, but we have to seek him. We have to realize that he's not a pet that I can find and then take home with me. He's the Lord of the universe, who created me, and whose thoughts are beyond my thoughts, and whose ways are beyond my ways. St. Paul says that this God of the universe, whom I must seek, will be magnified in Paul, whether by death or by life. Now, in my humble opinion, Paul's being pretty darn bold there, but he's echoing the prayer of the Blessed Virgin, my soul magnifies the Lord. He's saying that just as Christ grew in Mary's womb, so he's growing in Paul. And we must seek the Lord to grow in us. Seek the life that is Christ. Be ready for the death that is gain. Because death's simply a door beyond which is the supreme communion for which we all long. In the gospel, we see the other side of what Isaiah commanded us. We see the landowner of the vineyard, literally the Greek there is the man who is the householder. We could also translate it the master of the house, going out. The landowner went out. He's seeking us, seeking workers for his vineyard. It's the Son of God going out from his Father's house to seek and save the lost. This landowner is working like crazy, running back and forth from the house to the marketplace to the vineyard 5 times in a day. He runs to the marketplace to seek and find more workers. His vineyard apparently is huge. It must never have enough workers. And I want you to notice something very peculiar. These idlers, they're in the marketplace the whole day. The ones who went to the vineyard at the last hour were there since the very beginning. So why didn't the landowner send them all from the very beginning? I think maybe it's because while the landowner has been seeking them all since dawn, only when they begin to seek him do they hear and respond to his call. So here in the gospel, we see Christ seeking us, calling us over and over again. And when we finally respond by turning to him, seeking him, then he sends us to work in his vineyard that is the church. And the reason why Isaiah is able to command us to seek the Lord is because he knows, as we see in the gospel, that the Lord is already untiringly seeking us. And sometimes we avoid or even run from his seeking, maybe because his seeking comes with a demand. You too, go into my vineyard. This energetic landowner comes to an agreement with the first set of workers on the usual daily wage. The verb here for agreement in the Greek is symphonia. The landowner and the workers are in symphonic harmony over the work and the wage. Every other time the landowner goes out, he says to those idlers in the marketplace who turn to him, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." While he wants to put us to work, the Lord promises justice to his workers. Do you trust the landowner, the Lord, to give you justice for the work that you do in his vineyard? Now, of course, the first question really is whether we're still idling in the marketplace. Have we accepted his call to work in his vineyard, the church? Because this isn't just for bishops and priests and deacons and hired parish staff. This is for every member of the baptized. We live the stewardship spirituality by responding to our landowner seeking us and charging us to work in his vineyard. The gospel names us either idlers or workers. But who's the real worker in this story? It's the landowner who's tireless, who loves his vineyard and loves his workers. Notice that the parable never describes what kind of work they're doing in the vineyard. And we'll see that the landowner is ultimately less concerned with harvesting grapes or tending vines than he is with the interior work of transforming hearts and minds. In my life, am I working for the vineyard or working for the world? Is it all external work, or is there the work of faith and conversion going on within me? In the parable, we get a glimpse of some workers in the vineyard who are really working for the world. They're out for themselves. And the landowner, who at the end of the gospel here actually is called the Lord of the vineyard, he deliberately provokes them to reveal their worldliness. Call the workers to pay them, but begin with the last, and let's see how the first handle it. Here's a clue that the real work of this Lord in the vineyard is interior. It's about conversion. So when the first came, it says, they thought they would receive more. I've been a Christian my whole life, and this Johnny-come-lately sinner, he's obviously not as good or productive or persevering or hardworking as I am. I'm better than him, better than her. If God's really God, he'll know I'm better and so deserve more. And when they don't get more, what's their grumble? You've made these last equal to us. You're trying to say they're equal to me? How can those be equal to us? But the Lord of the vineyard wants radical generosity that sees the dignity of every worker, first or last. Fine, I'm all for dignity. That's great. But don't make them equal to us. And notice how the Lord of the vineyard responds. The group is grumbling. He responds one at a time. My friend, I'm not being unjust. I'm not being unjust to you. He deals with each worker uniquely and justly. And this particular one seems to be pretty hard-hearted, because the Lord says to him, take what is yours and go. That is not what we want to hear from the Lord of the vineyard. If all we're going to receive is what is really ours, that's not going to be much. We want to receive what's His, not what's ours, not what I deserve. And when He says, go, we get the image of the Lord sending him out of the vineyard, just as He sent Adam and Eve out of the garden. The work of the vineyard, in other words, is the work of letting that dew of the Spirit soften our hard hearts, letting the grace of the Lord transform us so that we see our brother and sister workers not as rivals or competitors. Don't make them equal to us. We're better than that. But rather, as diverse in the unique work of conversion as each of us are, that we also have equal dignity in being co-workers in the Lord's vineyard. And here we begin to understand that to seek the Lord means to see the Lord in each other without needing to make the other like me. We need a conversion of mind and heart to trust in God's justice, in God's stewardship, and to seek Him in all of our brothers and sisters. So the homework for this week is to work this week to seek and find the Lord in every person that you see. Whatever you do or don't know about them, you know that they're beloved by the Lord. Beloved by the Lord. Beloved by the Lord. Made in His image and likeness. Beloved by the Lord.